lovely to be with all of you today. I've asked Flory to join me, Flory Manette, a dear friend of mine, and also Grace's liaison for Faith Formation. Maybe you didn't know that. Flory and I will be leading a memoir class. It's the first part of a three-part spiritual writing class, as I announced at the beginning. So look that up if you're interested. The sources that I'm using today actually are sources that we'll be using in that memoir class. You already know the path to where I am going.
How do we know the way?
If you were with us for the Monday-Thursday service last month, you may remember this landscape of this room. We had it in this room here and had two big tables on either side. In the middle, there were basins for foot washing. This is where our story begins. Supper dishes from the Passover meal are cleared away. The disciples have pushed back from the table. The basin of water that Jesus used to wash his disciples' feet is still glinting in the candlelight. It has been a beautiful night of friendship and sharing, but now the tone has shifted. Jesus' spirit is troubled. The hearts of his disciples have grown heavy with an understanding of impending separation. Outside, the darkness is gathering. Soon it will be so dark that the disciples will not be able to see their hands in front of their faces. Jesus has identified Judas Iscariot as the one who will betray him. And Judas has slipped out of the door and into the night. Peter, ever ready to stand by his Lord's side, has stood up and said, "I will never betray you." And Jesus has just looked him in the eye and said, "You too will betray me." Time is running out. Soon the shepherd will be taken away from his sheep. A door will slam in their faces. Once sheltered by Jesus' powerful love, they will feel vulnerable, cast out, alienated, and alone. Jesus is the only one at this moment who can speak into the room. Words from any others would feel false, like hollow assurances. And Jesus' heart opens wide to his disciples in compassion. He gathers them close in like children, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." The Greek word that Jesus uses here for hearts is revelatory. It is not in the singular tense, it is in the plural. So Jesus is saying, "Do not let your collective heart be troubled." He is speaking to the communal heart that beats in the center of the small band of friends and followers, the very heart of the community. And so Jesus begins to open his disciples' imaginations to a way forward in a most difficult and desperate time. Jesus starts, as any good friend would, by comforting his disciples. "I am going to prepare a place for you, and then I will come again and I will take you there." Then he tells them, "You know the place to where I am going." What? The disciples look at each other in bewilderment. Then Thomas asks what they are all thinking. "Lord, we do not know the way."
How do we know the way?
"I am the way and the truth and the life," Jesus answers. And by telling his disciples this, he's throwing them another curveball. In Greek, the word way or hodos that both Thomas and Jesus use can mean an actual highway, but it can also be metaphorical. Philosophers from around the time that the book of John was written used way or hodos to describe a systematic way of thought and belief that would lead to a certain set of desired behaviors. For example, Julie, you might be a follower of the way of Plato. Dave, you might be a follower of the way of Aristotle. But Thomas wants the clarity that any of us at that moment would. Come on, Jesus, give me the coordinates. I'll plug it into Google Maps. I'll be there. And Jesus lets them know, where I'm going is not navigable in the way that you understand.
How do we know the way?
Jesus does not map a physical pathway, nor does he outline a philosophical set of beliefs. Instead, he says, I am the way. The path to God is therefore not one we walk with our feet or understand solely with our intellect. The path to God is one we must journey with our hearts. And once again, the disciples are keen to press him. If he's leaving, and if he is the only pathway, then what? I imagine at this point in the conversation, any of us would feel hysteria rising in us. Come on, there's not much time. Tell us actually what you're talking about. Tell us how to get there. Just tell us.
How do we know the way?
No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus explains. If you know me, then you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. With the disciples, we continue to press Jesus. With Philip now, we say, okay, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Ah, dear ones, Jesus says, and I imagine his voice is gentle. Have I been with you all this time, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in my Father and my Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. In the next few weeks leading up to Pentecost, you may find yourself asking the same questions the disciples did. And like them, your questions will not be answered with a roadmap or a doctrine, but by an invitation into a relationship, a friendship with the Trinity. God, whom I will call Parent God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
How do we know the way?
So, on the front of your bulletin, you will find an image by the German nun, writer, composer, and mystic Saint Hildegard. Look at this image. See what you see. See if it's speaking to you. It's a little strange. When I look at this image, I see a womb. I see Jesus in the middle with his hands lifted to us in blessing. Then there's this placenta-like circle around him, which I imagine could be the many pathways of the Holy Spirit's love and working in the world and in our lives. Finally, around that is a wide, strong wall, the love and mercy of Parent God. Each person of the Trinity is in dynamic relationship with each other. The Son reveals the face of parent God and sends us the Spirit. And the Spirit woos us back to parent God and the Son. But where are you? Where are we in this picture?
How do we know the way?
So if you look closely, you'll find the pathway to the inner circle is open. There are no dead ends. There are only ways forward. These circles do not separate us from God or other us. They invite us deeper in. As public theologian Nadia Boltz-Weber says, non-relational images of God do not allow room for us, but the mutual indwelling of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit offers us and all creation the divine space in which to live into the fullness of our identity as beloved children of God. So, what we're being called to is to move into the center, where Jesus is opening his hands wide to us in blessing. Move into that last inner circle, where our hearts are at one with God's. The journey is not linear from point A to point B, but it's all the way in, like we're standing at the edge of a pool, and we dive right into the center and keep swimming ever deeper, deeper, deeper. Layers upon layers of grace open to us as we journey right into the center of the heart of God. At the center, we are truly, and it's so hard to understand, but we are truly safe. We are surrounded like a fetus by the layers of love. Nothing can ultimately touch us there. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. And remember here, hearts is plural, a communal, collective heart. So too, the God who holds us in that center of love and mercy is by very nature communal. Believe in God and believe also in me. Believe in us. You all believe in us. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Come in and make your home with us. For in this home, there is no lack of space. In fact, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Eddie Hillesum was a Dutch Jew who lived in Amsterdam during World War II. She refused to go into hiding in order to more fully love and serve others at Westerbork, which was a concentration camp. And she ultimately died at Auschwitz. But before she did, she left us with letters and letters and journals. In those, she keeps reorienting herself away from the terror that is happening around her, even as she is present in body to serve others. She reorients herself back to a spiritual center where she knows she is fully known and where she is ultimately safe. She practices finding the center over and over again, daily. It becomes to her habitual, like eating or drinking. She writes,
"There is a really deep well inside me, and in it dwells God. Sometimes I am there too, but more often stones and grit block the wall, block the well, and God is buried beneath. Then he must be dug out again."
Our lives and souls in this world are marked by pain. When I was in college, in the beginning of my sophomore year, I began out of the blue to experience this crippling anxiety. It felt like it was hounding me like a lion. I had no peace. So I went and sought the counsel of a spiritual advisor. Instead of giving me a road map out of my anxiety and back to God, she reminded me of where I already was and always had been. She drew a simple diagram of three overlaid hearts. The largest heart took up most of the page, and she wrote by that heart, God. The second heart that fit inside of the first was labeled Kim, me. And then the finest, smallest heart inside of my own heart was labeled Jesus. In that simple image that she scrawled on notebook paper, I suddenly understood that I was completely indwelled and completely surrounded by love and mercy. There was nothing I had to do to be right there in the center of God's love. There was nothing anyone could do to wrench me from the center of God's love. I was wholly God's, and God was wholly mine. I still cling to that reality and that image from so long ago today. When the winds are raging all around me, I remind myself, or I ask you all to remind me, that I am deep, safe, in the very womb of God.
How do we know the way?
We show up to practice so we can see what is true. We practice again and again, whether we feel like it or not. We pause, like Brother Lawrence did, during the day to turn our face to the gaze of God the Parent, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We serve others and show them, by our very lives, the reality and love of God.
How do we know the way?
Ultimately, we will need to know the way through our hearts, rather than through our intellect. The Trinity is how the story of God with us keeps going when Jesus leaves the room and goes to his death. The Trinity is how Jesus somehow stays with us, how the Spirit continues moving in all the ordinary and extraordinary ways that change our lives. The Trinity is how God transcends time and space to indwell us and at the same time hold the world in her hands. Julian of Norwich, who lived during the Middle Ages, which was a brutal time of violence and death, was the time of the Black Plague, persisted that in spite of everything, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. I found out that Julian says that three times because the person of God is in three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. She writes,
"This is the all-powerful truth of the Trinity, that our Father made us and keeps us safe in him. This is the wisdom of the Trinity, that our Mother encloses us in her wisdom. And this is the goodness and unity of the Trinity, that we are protected, we are enclosed in the divine, and the divine is enclosed in us. The Holy Parent God lives in us, and so does the Holy Child God and the Holy Spirit. All strength, all wisdom, all goodness, one God, one protector."
In just a little while, you will be called up into the center here, into the heart of our practice as the people of God, to take into yourselves the body and blood of our protector, Jesus Christ. When you come, I invite you to look around the circle, to see the people of God surrounding you, and then to look within and find the God of the universe who loves you and calls you by name, waiting for you there. You are not alone.
How do we know the way?
We come as one body to this table, and here Jesus offers his very self to us. The Spirit wraps us in her grace, and Parent God opens her arms wide to us. And they say, come in, come closer. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.
How do we know the way?
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come in, take Jesus's bread, eat and swallow. Travel deeper and deeper into the heart of God. Amen.